This is Mythical.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Don't have enough Josh in your life? Well, you can hear yours truly in episode 4 of Ronstadt, a scripted podcast from Q-Code, Wood Elf, and Mythical right now. I don't want to give too much away, but I'm really good. Please check out Ronstadt on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever else you get your podcasts. And make sure to follow so you don't miss an episode. And also let me know when you spot me. There's no such thing as a beverage. That's it. That's the intro. This is A Hot Dog is a Sandwich.
Ketchup is a smoothie.
Yeah, I put ice in my cereal, so what?
That makes no sense.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
A hot dog is a sandwich.
What? Welcome to our podcast, A Hot Dog is a Sandwich, the show where we break down the world's biggest food debates. I'm your host, Josh Scherer.
And I'm your host... Sorry! And no. I'm your host... Hold on. And I'm your host, Nicole Hendizadeh. I had a frog in my throat, I'm sorry.
Auspicious start to the podcast. Nicole forgot her own name.
Let me just eat my water.
Nicole, I'm glad you brought that up. It's been a while.
What?
It's been a while since we've had just a completely insane kind of, you know, Josh rant about a subject that no one cares about. I thought we'd bring it back.
Okay.
I thought we'd bring it back. We did There's No Such Thing as a Soup, which is something I stand by. And people have called me out on that because I've posted pictures of myself making a soup.
Mm-hmm.
And people have been like, oh, Josh, I thought soups didn't exist. And I'm like, look, I'm trying to communicate what the wet food is that I'm putting in my body, and I understand that all you sheeple out there, you believe... That's a portmanteau of sheep and people, Nicole.
Yes, yes, uh-huh.
Sheeple, they're sheep people, because they follow.
Why don't we say peep?
What do you mean?
Instead of sheeple? Why don't we say, instead of it being...
Oh, like a people sheep, a peep. Because peeps, I believe, are copyrighted by whatever corporation makes peeps.
Instead of wake up, sheeple, wake up, peeps.
Wake up, peeps, because then you sound like a substitute teacher trying to sound cool in front of like an eighth grade class. And I'm like, what up, peeps? I'm Mr. Jones, but you can call me Jerry. That's the name of the Cowboys owner. Anyways, what I'm saying is, Nicole, I don't believe beverages exist. I don't think there are any meaningful distinctions between drinks and food. I think the category of food and drink is completely meaningless. Everything is merely consumables.
Okay, I disagree.
Why?
Okay, because, okay, whenever you go, okay, this is a great example.
Go ahead.
When you are hosting a party, okay, and you're renting a space and they provide you food and drink. The food has a set price. The drink does not.
But you're specifically talking about alcohol, right?
Well, yeah, that's a big kind of drink.
Okay, no. But alcohol is typically found in drink form. That is true.
Yeah.
Alcohol can also be found in non-drink form. Alcohol,
like what,
is a drug. Yeah, oh my God, you know about palcohol?
Of course I know. I know about so many things.
Speaking of portmanteaus, palcohol is short for powdered alcohol. And it was legal for all of like a minute.
Yeah, I remember. There were like videos of people make drink. Consuming.
Oh, what are they doing to palcohol? What are they doing? Are they drinking palcohol? They can't. It's a powder.
They were consuming it.
They were consuming. That's what I'm saying. Everything's consumable. So palcohol is powdered alcohol that what was their market for it? I remember reading their sort of internal marketing documents.
Do you not like the taste of alcohol? Here's palcohol.
So the way that they tried to market it was that they were like, oh, it's very portable for people to carry. So if you're going to like an outdoor concert, then you can bring your palcohol and then get whatever beverage you want and just add a little bit of palcohol.
So silly.
It was like they were marketing like emergency. It was little like Gatorade powder, you know, packets that they have. But then someone was like, hey, don't you think like a 15-year-old is going to get their hands on this, consume a whole thing and die?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they're like, no, this is for responsible adults. And they're like, don't you think teens are going to put this in their nose? Like, no, that can never happen with alcohol. I don't think it was legal. It was legal long enough for it to happen. I remember there were so many tie-ups for it.
Interesting.
But what I'm saying is alcohol is mostly consumed in drink format, but you have things like alcohol. But not only that, like, there are ways to eat alcohol. You got your vodka-soaked gummy bears.
Okay.
You know, I've let beef jerky sit in malt liquor. Eat that as a snack.
What have you done?
College was weird for me.
Yeah,
I did some
sounds
things.
Like it.
But no,
did
I'm
you
saying,
reserve the liquid and then do like a, you know how they like make like beef fat washed whiskey?
Yeah.
Did you do beef jerky washed Everclear? Well,
yeah, we drank it because it was.
That's so silly.
Why are you surprised by this?
I don't know. I mean, you never you never cease to amaze me, Josh Scherer.
You know the life I used to live.
Yeah, but that's wild, man.
But I'm saying, when you're saying food and drink like that, giving a separate cost for the food and drink at, say, like a wedding or something, that means alcohol.
Yeah,
right?
But
that's what the surcharge is. But they're not charging extra for, like, I mean, they'll
cranberry
if you're like iced tea, cranberry juice, they'll charge extra, but it's not at that premium. But I think there are too many things in that category that, for instance, right, I often, when I eat breakfast, I typically consume the same thing. It's some combination of Greek yogurt, fruit, and protein powder with 65 grams of protein at least in it. Some say that your body can only absorb 30 grams of protein per hour or something, and then the rest of it, it kind of just gums up your digestive tract. Given my experience, that seems to be true as well. However, I generally will either turn that into a smoothie, which many would consider a drink,
mm-hmm.
or I will turn it into a yogurt bowl.
Yes. I was going to ask you, do you drink yogurt?
Well, I mean, think about different yogurt drinks.
Drink
so do you drink
pudding?
Or eat yogurt?
Do you drink or eat pudding? Because pudding is the, what's that thing that you mix with cornstarch and water?
What?
Not a slurry. What's that non-Newtonian fluid? The non-Newtonian fluid!
I don't know. You can't just yell like goop, gorp, grop. Sloop, sling, oobleck, oobleck, gobble gobble.
Pudding is the oobleck of the culinary world.
Okay, case in point, danimals.
Danimals,
danimals,
yogurt.
A portmanteau of Danon and animals.
This is just a portmanteau.
I like how they thought people cared enough about the name Danon in yogurt to care that it was called danimals.
One time I wanted to make a danimal banana and call it bananimals.
So they take, Danimals came out with drinkable yogurt.
Yes.
A while ago for kids. It was in a little crush container.
I remember.
The crush. But like all they've done is to thin out yogurt enough to drink it, especially a thin yogurt that's not Greek or it's not strained.
Bulgarian.
But yeah, like
Bulgarian yogurt?
Bulgarian mountain yogurt's drinkable.
Yeah.
Is that a drink or a food? Are Danimals drinkable, crushable yogurts? Is that a drink or a food? That's what I'm saying.
I don't know.
There's no point in differentiating.
But I want to.
Why?
Because I don't know. Something in my mind is telling me that, like, this cup of water in front of my face right now is not food.
I would maybe argue that water's still a food. Water's still a consumable. I was going to say I could maybe make a case that water is the only true drink.
So you think anything that enters your mouth hole and you swallow is considered consumable.
Solely a consumable, which I think we could even colloquialize to say food. Water is a food, not a beverage.
What is a beverage?
Nothing is a beverage. Beverages
nothing
don't
is
exist.
A beverage?
Nothing's a beverage.
And nothing is a soup?
What?
Nothing is a soup.
It's
nothing
all
is a beverage.
It's all just things you
what
consume
are we doing here,
for
Josh?
Nutrition. It's all, it's to create. So what is the point of food, right? There, I know a fair amount of people in athletic spaces who like don't care anything about food culture, right? They don't get joy out of food. They're like, food is strictly fuel for my body to accomplish a task it need. And they'll like, you know, put some mustard on white rice. Shout out to Nick Scarvelis, pro shot putter and best friend, because that's what he does.
Mustard on white rice.
But no, I understand that relationship to food for certain people. However, the point of food throughout like all of history has been to have some sort of cultural connection, to gamify life enough to being joyful, right? Think about the consumption of hot peppers, right? It doesn't make any sense. It causes you physical pain. It is literally a defense mechanism from a plant to cause you pain to not want to consume it. And we, through evolutionary biology and also just, you know, development of culture and this idea that things should be fun and exciting, we've been like, no, we're going to lean into this pain and like turn this into almost a problem to be solved. You know, here's a plant that doesn't want us to eat it, but we're going to figure out how to turn it into sambals, how to, you know, turn that into chili paste and all this stuff. So like the point of consuming anything has always been one, nutrition, but then two, rooting yourself to a shared culture with a group of people, you know, creating a sense of identity. Mm-hmm. And then three, just kind of joy. Evolutionarily, we grew to want to laugh, right? Someone, I don't have the receipts on this, but there's a cultural anthropologist who coined the term the problem-solving gene and said that laughter was actually originally sort of developed as a sort of like mechanism to get you to want to solve problems. Like you see a problem, you solve it, and you're like, aha, look at that thing, I did it. And so that is the point of food to me throughout like all of cultural in human history. And so I don't think we ever need to develop, you know, any sort of differentiation between beverage and food. I think that's just completely false. It is all things that we have developed over thousands of years to put in our mouths for joy, for culture, for comfort, and for nutrition. Case in point, yogurt. Think about Doux.
I was just about to say Doux.
Doux. I mean, what is Doux? Is Doux a drink or a food?
It's a drink.
But, I mean...
Doux is a fermented yogurt drink with sparkling water. Sometimes has mint in it, by the way.
Oh, I love when there's the dried mint.
I hate Doux. I literally had an argument with like five people. I'm like, Doux sucks. Like, Doux is the best. I'm like, Doux is garbage.
It's really good. I mean, it's kind of like a yogurt-y, got a little bit of like a cheesy kefir flavored.
Yeah, it has a very specific taste. Some people love it. Some people hate it. I don't really care for it personally.
I think maybe an argument for that drinks do exist is that they are complementary to food. Mm-hmm. In the sense that, like, you drink a cola with a burger and they're almost meant to offset each other.
Yeah, like a milkshake and a burger. A milkshake a food?
Well, no. I mean, of course. I mean, what about a Frosty?
Frosty, ooh.
Think about this.
Ice cream is food.
But then at what point does ice cream melt enough to become a drinkable drink?
Well, that's a great question.
Right? Does it exist in the state of food? At one moment, and then the next after it melts? Because a milkshake, you would consider a drink, right? You go to In-N-Out, you're slipping it through a straw.
Uh-huh.
But then what percent of difference in morphology is there between an In-N-Out milkshake and a Wendy's Frosty, which does not come with a straw? Nicole, it comes with a spoon.
It does?
Yeah.
I don't know. I've only had one Frosty before in my life.
You only had one Frosty?
Yeah, you gave it to me, and I ate like 45% of it.
What the hell?
Yeah, what do you mean? I don't do fun things like eat Frosties. Yeah, I mean, well, is eating something with a spoon make it no longer a liquid?
Well, no, we're not talking about liquid. We're talking about drink.
Oh, well, you can spoon coffee into your mouth.
You can, but like people don't.
Yeah, you do.
Who's spooning coffee? Spoon coffee?
Yep. Okay, well, I'm mixing up my coffee and I take a spoon and
that's a taster spoon. That's different.
No, it's not.
That's a taste because
it still is performing the function of slurping.
No, that is preliminarily tasting it to then make sure that it's primed for you to actually drink.
Doesn't matter.
Have you ever consumed a whole cup of coffee with a spoon?
Of course not.
Of course not. You taste it with a spoon, right? Just to kind of get the taste, and then you drink it out of the cup.
So if I switch my utensil for how I'm consuming something, that changes it?
It certainly changes what the intent was behind the thing, whether to drink or to eat.
Okay,
one drinks with a straw, one eats with a spoon.
So it's meaningless. So with a stew, I eat all of the solid parts first of the stew with a spoon, and then I use my mouth to tip the bowl to drink up the rest of the stew.
You're telling me that's a beverage now?
I'm asking you!
No, beverages don't exist and soups don't exist. It's all just food that you put in your... It's all consumables that you put in your body for nutrition, for comfort, for culture, for joy.
So you mean to tell me that soda is in the same bracket as a hamburger?
Correct.
Soda is in the same...
Because they're both giving you nutrition and comfort and joy and culture.
But they're not!
But they are.
How are they?
Because, I mean, literally, even think about diet soda. The reason I said that water...
I hate diet soda.
Oh, God, I love it.
I hate that taste.
Give me that diet, Dr. DP.
I hate it.
But either way, you're putting some sort of, like, minerals in your body at the very least. So even water, right? Water doesn't have any nutritional values. Typically, zeros across the board. However, you know, some may have a little bit of sodium in it, but water is generally giving you some sort of mineral content, right? Your body, not only does it need the macronutrients, right? The protein, the carbs, the fat. It also needs, you know, all the micronutrients and the vitamins and the minerals, and you are getting that from water. So everything you are just consuming is just something to keep you alive in some way, right?
Yeah.
And so it's all the same.
It's not all the same category. I can't wrap my head around these being the same thing. They're in two different categories.
Think about the nutritional content between a very thin soup, like say even a broth.
Okay.
Right? So if you look at, I have a Diet Red Bull can right here. All right, so the only thing we have in this Diet Red Bull can is zeros across the board, except for 105 milligrams of sodium.
Mm-hmm.
right? So essentially, I mean, this isn't even filled with sugar, right? This is just literally a salty liquid.
Yes.
Right? What separates that? This is a guarana-flavored salty liquid. What separates this from a thin vegetable broth? And this has minerals and vitamins
caffeine.
In it, too. Caffeine. I mean, you can have a naturally caffeinated soup.
Where?
I don't know. You put, like, ginseng. Ginseng soup. So, yeah, ginseng is a natural form of caffeine. You often put ginseng in a Korean chicken soup.
Okay. What is the difference between those two
things?
So I'm
saying there is a world in which there is no nutritional difference between a thin ginseng-laden Korean chicken broth and a can of Diet Red Bull. So then what makes one a drink and one a food?
The way that it's presented.
But if you put that ginseng chicken broth inside of... But I'm saying the intent doesn't matter. I consume as my needs.
You can have bone broth in a bowl or you can have bone broth in a cup. Doesn't matter.
So is one a beverage and is one a food?
No.
They're the same.
They're the same.
They're indistinguishable.
No.
That's all I'm saying here. That's
Josh,
all I'm saying here.
Gosh, my brain.
There's no difference. But and I think right now, Nicole, we're in a changing world and environment.
I hate this.
We're in a changing world and environment. People's needs are changing and the way that people sell to those needs are changing. Because, like, who before would have even talked about putting bone broth in a cup until Creation with a K juicery or whatever?
No.
Have you been to a Creation with a K?
Of course.
Dude, that place is weird.
Owned by a Persian lady.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And they
the boss.
I drank something there and it was, like, really delicious. It cost me, like, $12.
Very expensive, very delicious.
I did, like, a kickboxing class in Brentwood a while ago.
Yeah.
And then went to Creation immediately afterwards.
Yeah, nice.
And
nice.
I just really wanted to be on brand.
There's actually a really good bone broth place. Oh, Belcampo.
Belcampo makes a great bone broth.
Belcampo makes the best bone broth. $11 for 8 ounces. I don't even care. I will pay that much because it makes me feel so good.
And you're drinking it, right? You are probably like walking around with it. You're walking around like the Third Street Promenade, drinking your bone broth. You're like, oh my God, my skin is going to glow because of all the collagen here.
That's not why I drink it. It honestly just tastes really good.
But you're drinking a soup. Our food culture has changed so much to the point where it's normal to put soup in a coffee cup.
I like that world.
I'm not saying I dislike it.
I
think it's interesting.
World.
Also, you know who was doing that for years before any health food store started doing it?
Hmm.
NFL teams.
Nice.
So if you, normally they have the Gatorade coolers and everything.
Chicken broth in there.
Dude, they did.
Oh,
they
no,
did.
Wait, when it's cold outside?
When it's super cold outside. They'll have like cocoa, they'll have coffee, and they would have freaking chicken broth in heated things. You'd
nice.
See players just like drinking one of the little plastic Gatorade cups full of chicken broth, shuddering on the sideline in
nice.
Green Bay in the frozen tundra.
Yeah, that's really similar to me walking on Third Street Promenade with my $11
super similar. Don't have enough Josh in your life? Well, you can hear yours truly in episode 4 of Ronstadt, a scripted podcast from Q-Code, Wood Elf, and Mythical right now. I don't want to give too much away, but I'm really good. Please check out Ronstadt on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever else you get your podcasts. And make sure to follow so you don't miss an episode. And also let me know when you spot me.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
But no, all these health food places are the ones that got me kind of thinking about this question because this stuff keeps me up at night. Like, this is what I think about. When I lay my head down, right,
yeah.
It's like 11:15, and I'm like, oh my God, I'm so tired. I need to go to bed. And then you lay in bed, and you're just like, beverages don't exist. And then for the next 2 hours, you're just kind of resting around.
But Josh, what about mastication? What about peristalsis?
We can't talk about mastication.
What about peristalsis?
What about peristalsis?
What do you mean? Drinks just go into your body. You don't have to do anything.
Actually, there is something to that. Yeah. So tell them about the process of mastication, Paracelsus.
Okay, so I have a list. Mastication is the art or process of chewing, the act of processing or grinding, shredding, crushing, or kneading to a pulp. Mastication is step one of the digestive process. I don't want to read this. basically, it's just the move of your mouth masticating, chewing things into a pulp so your body can consume. It goes down the esophagus, and then peristalsis happens, which is the progressive wave of contraction and relaxation at tubular muscle system, especially the alimentary canal.
Alimentary canal?
Alimentary canal? Is that good? English is my first language.
Is it C-A-N-A-L?
Canal.
Canal. The word is canal.
It's canal.
What are you talking about? Alimentary canal.
Alimentary canal. It's sanal. C-A-N-A-L. Okay. Alimentary canal, by which the contents are forced through the system. What about that, Josh?
This is actually important, and it's important evolutionarily as well.
What about chyme? You know about chyme?
What is chyme?
That's what the food is turned into.
Chyme? Guys, can you read?
Do you think I went to medical school?
I don't know.
Why do you expect me to be able to say alimentary canal properly? I can barely speak English on a good day.
Okay, so no, chewing and swallowing is what you're talking about. Peristalsis is when you swallow food and there's a muscular movement that moves it down your esophagus. And that's something we obviously developed, over time. There's a reason that humans aren't exclusively drinking liquid diet.
Yeah.
And there's a reason weird tech bros think that you can just drink Soylent and get all the nutrition and satisfaction you need. Which to me completely cuts out the fact that humans have used food as entertainment for thousands upon thousands of years. I read this. What I love doing most in this world is picking on student journalists, just trying their best.
Nice.
No, I don't.
What do you mean pick on?
I worked for a college newspaper and I had nothing but a poor view of it. But anyway, someone wrote. They kind of wrote like a weird takedown piece on Babish.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all about how like these days, and they're started with the phrase these days, so you're like, oh, this is automatically gonna be garbage. And like, these days, food is about entertainment, whereas food used to be about this. Like, food has always been about entertainment.
Yeah.
Every royal court has had chefs creating stupid pastries. I mean, we would not need special holiday dishes. Right. There's holiday dishes dating back thousands upon mm-hmm. thousands of years. We wouldn't have those if food was all about sustenance and whatever. It's always been about fun and entertainment throughout history.
Yeah. Did they talk about how there's like food waste and entertainment and stuff? And
yeah. Which is
about, like,
Jesus on the level. Like, of course we waste food when we cook a show.
What about whatever they're like, because of, the what is it called? The environment. And stuff like people shouldn't do it for entertainment and stuff. Talk about that.
Yeah, no, they
did. Which, so I understand what they're
saying. To me, it's insane because the amount of food waste that comes from the entire entertainment industry does not equal the amount of food waste that comes from the Wynn buffet, the grocery store. 40% of all food in American homes is thrown away.
Totally.
Creating stuff for content like that is not. I understand how it could be triggering to see it on camera occasionally, but the fact is that is doing nothing in the grand scheme of things. It's corporate and it's industrial. But anyways, what I was talking about is that the process of chewing and swallowing, there, if you consume 200 calories worth of consumptibles, as I'm calling them now, via drinking, mm-hmm. so like not chewing, not masticating, not starting that digestive process, you will be hungrier than 200 calories of something that you've chewed. This is something that's been studied by dietitians and stuff like that. Because there is something, and there's
is
no
it the energy of your mouth chewing.
No, there's almost no biological reason for it.
Huh.
There's almost no scientific reason for why you should feel that way.
Is it the way that we're absorbed? It's through absorption.
It could be. It could be that. There's something called the pyloric valve.
Yeah, it's probably the absorption of liquid is faster instead of solids. Maybe, I don't know.
But I think what a lot of it is psychosomatic.
Interesting.
In the sense that we enjoy chewing and swallowing things. Right? It's something that feels biting into something is more satisfying if you're hungry.
Yeah.
Right? And then we got to get into the fact that hunger and thirst are two different sensations.
Totally two. Oh my God, yes.
But that said, you can quench your thirst with the food. You can quench your thirst with soup.
I've done that before and I hate it. Are you ever really thirsty and just like, let me just have this instead?
let me just eat a whole cucumber.
Which is just water. Cucumbers.
Watermelon's like 93% water.
Yeah,
watermelon's
cucumber's
beverage.
A beverage.
Watermelon's a beverage.
It is.
But no, I am fascinated by that fact that biologically you shouldn't feel any difference, but just the process that you want to bite into something. How many times have you said the phrase, like, I'm hungry, and then you realize it's not anything to do with your stomach being empty. Mm-hmm. It's just you want to eat something, right? We confuse the two things because eating is fun. It's
eating
entertainment.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. But I mean, so is, you know, drinking, consuming anything. These two things, we're not solely doing it on our biological needs. We're also doing it just, you know, to make life worth living and to provide color and context. So all these things we're just consuming for life, for culture, for entertainment, and for sustenance at the end of the day. There is absolutely no difference.
Cool.
But no, what actually got me thinking about a lot of this is the modern health food movement.
Mm-hmm.
Because at some point, Nicole, at some point, smoothies, they split. You ever see like an evolutionary diagram of like a hamster or something?
I've seen evolutionary diagrams, yes. Maybe
where
not
there'll
a
be
hamster,
like,
but yeah.
There'll be like two creatures that'll be like, here was a coelacanth or whatever, and then it'll split, and it's like, and then half the lizard part of that turned into an alligator, and then somehow the other half
like
ended up a hamster.
Oh, like how dinosaurs are chickens, or chickens are dinosaurs.
Yeah, but like some ended up alligators and some ended up ostriches.
Yeah,
You know, that happened at some point in the last 10 years with smoothies.
Okay, is smoothie a beverage or a food?
Well, this is what I'm getting at.
What is it?
Smoothies have polarized now where smoothies are dead. We've talked about this before. Smoothies are pretty much dead, right? The swinging 90s of the Jamba Juice and the Robex.
Yeah, the smoothies we knew from the past,
correct.
But now we have rebranded.
They have split like the coelacanth did into an ostrich and an alligator. I don't even know what a coelacanth
is.
I have no idea. But anyways, what I'm saying is smoothies have now split into either juices or bowls.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. I hate smoothies.
I hate smoothie bowls. What the hell is a smoothie bowl? It's sherbet.
It's sherbet.
It's sherbet in a bowl.
Bad tasting sherbet.
But a smoothie bowl is a food, whereas a smoothie is a drink.
Mm-hmm.
In what people would say. In what the masses would say.
Yeah, but the texture is a little bit different, don't you think?
It is. And then it's almost like the resultant runoff liquid ended up in the juice bar where they're serving liquidy juices. So it's like our tastes have changed to want simultaneously more solid food. And then more liquidy drinks.
It's putting solid food on top of the semi-solid foods.
Yeah, you're talking about the toppings on an acai bowl.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm talking
about. Also, the crazy thing about acai is acai only grows in, I believe, one region in Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
And acai is incredibly difficult, near impossible to transport fresh.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why everything we get with acai in it is incredibly sweet because, you know, it's incredibly sweet and sour because it's preserved and also frozen and shipped. So even in like the largest Brazilian cities, they're eating like quote unquote inauthentic, you know, acai because it's really only one regional thing.
Mm-hmm.
But cool. I think it's fascinating how that's like taken over LA.
I don't care for acai bowls.
Do you like, sorry, I burped.
It's okay.
But do you like any smoothie bowls? Like,
no,
are you into that movement?
I don't like smoothies. I love juices though.
Weird. What is it about? Juices. So is it because you're treating juices as a drink and smoothie as a food?
No, I treat juices as a food too.
You do?
Like morning juices.
Like that'll be your breakfast. It's just a morning juice.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. And then, I don't know, I think smoothies make my throat hurt.
Just the cold?
Yeah, the cold makes, I like cough a lot. Like, I have an issue where like, when I laugh a lot on the podcast, I'm like coughing for like 15 minutes afterwards, like really hard. I think it's just my vocal cords are just very sensey.
You should eat a tea.
No, you should eat a tea. What about those cubes of coffee? Those biohackers, you know, with the cubes
what?
Of coffee?
What are the biohackers with cubes
You've
of coffee?
You've never seen the coffee cubes that the biohackers made? Google it. Is your laptop working? It's alive.
Yeah, I never opened it.
Miraculously, your laptop is alive.
Yeah, this is like the Hanukkah miracle of laptops right now. Coffee cubes founded in Burbank.
Founded in Burbank?
Wait, no. What's a coffee? Just tell me about, is it chewable
coffee?
It's
a chewable coffee. So what happens when you take something that's known as a liquid and then you solidify it and then it turns into a beverage in your mouth? What do you do?
Vodka-soaked gummy bears.
What do you do when...
They taste like poison. You think you know what a vodka-soaked gummy bear... Maggie's nodding along. You think you're like, oh, vodka, you know, I've had alcohol-flavored desserts. Gummy bears are really nice. But then you chew it and then you're just chewing and it's squirting little lemon-scented vodka directly at your tonsils and you don't throw up.
I love it.
Oh my god, you eat vodka-soaked gummy bears?
Have you ever had the chocolates that have a shot of alcohol in them?
Yes, those are good.
Oh my god, those are good. Don't drink it.
Wait, speaking of edible alcohol, do you partake in edible not alcohol, but like Jello shots, right?
Who does it?
Do you enjoy Jello shots?
What is Jello?
Jello is you take a beverage and then you add a little bit of dead animal bones to it and it becomes a food. See how stupid all this sounds,
yeah,
you idiots?
I guess what happened is it's all food.
It's all food.
And I hate that it's all food.
There's no such thing as a drink. It's all food.
The only drink is water.
I will concede to the fact that the only drink is water only because I do not drink water, so I am never consuming a beverage. Do you remember yesterday I grabbed a plain water bottle and everyone was like worried?
It, and then someone took it from you.
Someone took it. They were like, oh, I assumed this wasn't yours because it was the water.
Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to B-O-L-L and branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
All right, Nicole, we've heard what you and I have to say. Now it's time to find out what other wacky ideas are rattling out there in the Twitterverse. It's time for a segment we call
Opinions Are Like Casserole.
All right, first up, we got at Ben Salolife. Alfredo pasta tastes better microwaved. I know what they're getting at.
What are they? I don't know what this means.
I know. I think they're talking about leftover Alfredo pasta that is microwaved. Tasting better.
Well, yeah, because some foods taste better the next day.
Some do, but yeah. I wouldn't say better or worse. It changes it, right? Mm. Because the Alfredo sauce at that point is completely absorbed by the noodles.
Yeah.
It's thickened. So you're like, this person probably doesn't like a very saucy pasta. They like the concentrated flavor. But have you ever reheated leftover mac and cheese and it seems like the flavor just left?
Sometimes it's like that cheddary funk is gone.
The cheddary funk is gone. And I don't know what happens. It gets like absorbed by the noodles,
and
like
then
an odor eater.
In the sky.
And then vaporizes like a burning candle.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wild. Oh, I totally get it. It's not my thing. I like a good saucy nude.
I like both. There's a time and place for both types of nudes, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. All right. Marion Schultz 21 says, dip your cookies in applesauce. So good. What kind of cookies? Like a snickerdoodle dipped in applesauce sounds really good. But like a double chocolate chunk chocolate cookie, nah, I want to do that.
I think we need to reinvent the applesauce game.
Yeah, applesauce isn't sexy.
It's not sexy, but it could be.
George, let's make sexy applesauce.
Let's make sexy, we'll call it sexy applesauce.
No, 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 we'll call it Hustlers.
Sex sauce made with apples. It's like how people tried to rebrand.
Brought to you by Playboy. Dude, Playboy applesauce.
Larry Flint, get in on our sexy applesauce business.
Hustler sauce. Sauce made from apples.
Well, like people tried to rebrand yogurt like for men, you know? There's like, there's some brand, I don't think it's called Brogurt. I think it's a word that I made up. Or overnight oats. There's one just called like Mush. And it has very masculine branding on it.
Is it?
Yeah.
I don't feel like it's masculine branding. I think it's actually quite gender neutral branding, but that's just my opinion.
Fair enough, fair enough. But I'm saying that there's a way to rebrand certain foods into being sexful, and I think we need to make a sexful applesauce. Because right now it's plain. You got Mott's out there, no sex appeal to Mott's.
Zero.
Treetop?
What's Treetop?
Yeah, none of my juices flowing.
No,
we need sexy applesauce. And I think we can make it.
The sexiest yogurt of all time is Activia.
No, there's this sexy French yogurt out there. Oh, not
oui.
Noosa.
We. Yeah.
When I said sexy French yogurt, you immediately knew what I was talking about.
Yeah, but also there's Siggy's. You ever had Siggy's?
Siggy's isn't sexy. Siggy's is like
it's
responsible
girl sexy. Part.
Yeah, yeah. It's like Visco Girl.
Yeah, Visco
sexy.
Girl
sexy.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, or like I read Kinfolk magazine sexy. You know, it's like I'm practical. I'm the one you're probably going to want to spend the rest of your life with.
That's right.
But then we is the yogurt that you're like, I don't care what happens as long as we have tonight, baby.
It's because it's in the glass bottle and has that really pretty top. Oh my God, so funny. Okay, Hustler sauce.
What are we talking about?
I don't know. This is weird. What's Go-Gurt?
Go-Gurt's not. Go-Gurt is, Go-Gurt's loose and lascivious.
I love Go-Gurt.
Go-Gurt will just be inside anyone. As fast as possible, as fast as you can slurp. Where are we at? Lisa MIG. Ketchup with Mexican tamales is better than salsa. I like ketchup on a lot of things.
Yeah.
To me, the sweetness would overtake. Depends what kind of tamale.
Yeah.
You know?
True. That's very true.
You know, but I'm thinking with like, you know, anything that has a saucy meat inside of it, the ketchup to me is going to ruin that taste.
Yeah, true. I've had ketchup with my Mexican tamale, specifically turkey, and it's really good. It's really good.
I'm for it.
I like it.
I put ketchup on a lot of things.
Yeah. Travis Kreis says bologna and peanut butter is amazing.
We tested that. We tested various meats. Well, we tested hot dog with peanut butter, and we tested salami with peanut butter. And both were pretty bad.
Pretty bad.
Pretty bad, right?
Yeah.
I think we need, in the same way that we're making sexy applesauce, we need more diverse peanut-based condiments.
Okay, cool.
Because I think that's what people want.
Yeah, but like they don't.
You think
they do, but and then you create it and then you pitch it to the grocery stores and then no one buys it.
Yeah,
no one buys it.
That's how most things happen. Yeah, it's like savory popsicles. No, Josh,
you think people want these things, but they don't. They say they do, but then it's in front of their faces and they say, "Hey, what the hell is that?" And then they never buy it. And they're also in England for some reason.
Pitch it in Wigan?
They're also in England for some reason.
You're in Norwich? Where are you at? You're at Cardiff by the Sea?
Cardiff. I meant the white, what is it called? The
white Cliffs of Dover? Oh, are you at the White Cliffs of Dover at Glastonbury? Where are you at, Nicole? Where's this fictional grocery store? But no, the way they use, like, think about tahini, right? Tahini, you put straight up tahini on a pita, on sandwich, on sabich.
It's
going to be garbage.
Yeah.
But that's why you take tahini and you mix it with the water, the lemon, the garlic, the salt, and then you get a beautiful condiment. That's what people need with peanut butter. Peanut butter is tahini. It's a base ingredient.
Yes.
You need to mix it with stuff.
Yes.
God dang it. All right. I'm a cake ninja. Good for you. When I was a kid, I would only eat salad with strawberry jam. I thought dressings were gross. This is fascinating to me because there are a lot of salad dressings out there
that are jam.
Pretty damn close to jam.
That are pretty much jam.
You get some of those bottled raspberry vinaigrettes.
Yeah.
Especially the fat-free raspberry vinaigrette where they're just spiking it with corn syrup to make you feel something.
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty much a jam.
Yeah. This doesn't sound totally unreasonable to me.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Literally, you mix equal parts jam and balsamic, and that's a pretty solid vinaigrette right there.
Yeah.
I mean, vinaigrette, using that term very loosely. Yeah, yeah. You know,
emulsification.
Yeah, no, this is a good, this sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
Some dressings are kind of gross if you really think about what they are.
Yeah, dressing in general is just a gross idea.
It's a gross idea, yeah.
But I like it.
You have foods, you'd like to make them wetter, here's a wet to food your foods.
Yeah, I mean, like, I don't mind, it's like a gross thing, but in life you need some gross things.
Yeah, I mean, I dip all my pizza in salad dressing. Not even ranch, I'll dip pizza in honey mustard, I don't care.
Oh, well, that sounds good. Jax Grayson 005 says, I like to dip Dunkin' Donuts hash browns in the chocolate on top of the Boston cream donut. Okay, do you, boo?
You ever have spud nuts?
No, but I've always wanted to try spud nuts. I've wanted to try potato-based desserts for a long time. I also one time saw that there's truffles made out of potato, and I really want to try those, too.
Oh.
I'm really sad about it. And there's no potato places around here for me to try my desserts.
Aw, Nicole don't got no spud nuts. Spud nuts is a potato-based donut shop. That sounds perfect for this person.
Yeah, that sounds like what he
You like
he wants
potatoes?
To
you like the flavor of donuts? Go to spud nuts.
That's right.
Are they even still around? I haven't been to spud nuts in years.
What is a
spud? They were, like, perfectly fine. It kind of just tastes like a donut with like a little bit more kind of like chew and
spud
starchiness.
Spud nuts near me. Oh yeah, there's multiples.
We're taking a field trip to spud nuts.
Really?
Yeah, let's do it right
now. Maggie, we're going to spud nuts.
Maggie, got the podcast. We're going to spud nuts. At AJ's Coffee Adventures, nachos should be layered. I don't care what Josh says about it. He's wrong. AJ, you want layers? Eat a lasagna. Fella, go get a layer cake. Get yourself a meal foy. Get yourself a meal crepe. Don't layer your nachos. Nachos should be one layer. If you want more food, eat two plates of nachos. I made a claim that when I watch people build nachos, they'll lay down chips, then they'll put cheese and toppings, and then more chips, and then more cheese and toppings. I'm ethically against that.
Oh, interesting.
Is that how you build your nachos?
It's a preference thing. Like, depends on the day. I'm not, like, married to, I don't eat too many nacho plates, so I'm, like, not that, like, particular about how it's assembled. Unfortunately,
I think that people will often get down into the distribution thing. They'll just say, like, you know, I don't want a layer of chips on the bottom that don't have the toppings. But for me, that's the sort of fun build your own adventure of nachos. You get that plain chip and you're like, this is an opportunity chip.
Okay.
This isn't a plain chip. This is an opportunity for me to swipe through the rest of this plate to find the perfect bites of things that I want on these nachos.
Mm-hmm.
I think layering it, you're creating steam, you're creating wetness, you're creating a nacho lasagna.
But that's enjoyable, don't you think?
If
nacho lasagna, we need to make a nacho lasagna.
But that's not nachos, that's not. Ooh. Oh, yeah,
we need
dude,
to make
sheesh.
It. Yeah, we'll make it.
Sheesh.
We'll make it on Mythical Kitchen. Can I ask you a question about nachos?
Please.
Do you put regular cheese or do you put, like, cheese sauce?
I used to be a very hardo on cheese sauce exclusively.
Mm-hmm.
But recently I've softened on that. I think if you do cheese sauce, the problem with that is I also love really soupy, liquidy beans on nachos.
Yeah, you can't have both of them.
You can't have both.
It'll just be a gross disaster.
Especially, I loaded up with salsa and various cremas, and like I made a nacho plate once with cheese sauce and soupy beans, and I think I even had like a braised meat, and I was like, "This is soup."
Much. Yeah, it was too much.
This is soup with chip croutons.
Yeah, yeah.
And so now I've learned if I want soupy or other ingredients, I'll use like, you know, like a Monterey Jack is just my favorite because you get such a nice texture on it and meltiness. There's another style of nacho though that I think a lot of people attribute to Texas, and there's a lot of hardos in Texas who believe that nachos should be individually built on each chip.
Interesting.
Yeah, so like everything is composed. It does sound like an effort.
I don't care.
Also, to me, that's a tostaditas.
Totally. I agree with you. It's like a little tostada, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right. Questionable Downhiller says, I think it's sacrilegious, but cheddar cheese on spicy ramen is good. Okay, I think this is I love putting cheese in my ramen, but it has to be American. The cheddar doesn't melt that well.
Well, I mean, but think about, when they said this, I was thinking about French onion soup. How you get that little gratiné on top of that cheese.
Oh, that's
if this person's
saying.
Doing the gratiné of cheddar cheese on top.
Oh, interesting. See, that's was thinking that it's just they're slopping down a slice and letting
they
it go.
They might be. They might be. I'm giving them the benefit of the doubt that they're doing a gratiné, but I don't know how you'd like broil your ramen that would melt the styrofoam.
Yeah, maybe they're not doing that, though.
Maybe not.
Yeah.
But mixing in, cheddar mixing in with a thin broth is tough because it's just going to separate into the proteins and all that. American cheese gives you that creaminess. Pop a little bit of cream cheese in there.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of pickled jalapenos. Make like some jalapeno popper ramen.
Wow. Oh.
Dude, bacon, pickled jalapenos,
jalapeno
cream cheese,
ramen.
A little bit of broth.
We got to do that on the show.
We got to
This is just a...
Maggie, write this down.
This is just a brainstorming session. Give us more good opinions. Thanks.
Here we go. Unpopular opinion from Dan Worley, 1030. Fettuccine Alfredo and chicken is the adult version of mac and cheese with nuggets.
In terms of basicness, yeah.
In terms of basicness, yeah. That's one of those things that the fooderati, right? Like the elite food people in their ivory towers.
Fooderati, like
they would
Illuminati.
Tell you,
good one, Josh. Hardy, hard.
Not Illuminati, actually. Literati is the reference, and like the hyper literate, smart people of society. That's okay, Nicole. But
what
I'm saying is, like, intense foodies poo poo fettuccine Alfredo. It's like it's not authentically Italian.
Good.
It's like who gives a rat's a double hockey sticks. Also, it was invented in Rome, and it's a delicious dish. So I guess it is true that fettuccine Alfredo chicken is an adult version of mac and cheese and nuggets, especially put a little bit of broccoli on there.
I think it's delicious, too.
I love it. Who could not love it?
But I do agree with this opinion that it is the adult version.
It is.
Yeah.
It's, like, more acceptable for you to eat.
Yeah. Okay. Art Fexigila says, Mythical Kitchen staff should be able to hug Josh at least once a year. Great opinion! Love it!
Will you sacrifice your Christmas bonus?
Absolutely not.
To hug me? Because it's a substitute good. You have to choose.
It is not. A hug is not equal to money.
Well, fine. Then you don't
get... to tell me that you want me to give you money for me to hug you?
Yes! Yes, that is the relationship.
What does that even mean?
Because you obviously are excited for the prospect. For people who don't know, maybe there's people who don't watch the YouTube show. I often joke about, but I'm also pretty serious about the fact that I don't like to be touched, and I don't like hugging coworkers, especially. And so that's where this is all coming from. So if my coworkers want to hug me, they got to give me their holiday bonus. Them's are the rules, Nicole. I don't make them, except I did.
Yeah, you just made it.
Last one. At Liddy Casimiro, all peanut butter is gross, except for Laura's. Give me all the oil on top, please. No.
Yes.
Je refuse.
Yeah,
what am I gonna mix?
Refuse.
I'm gonna mix my own peanut butter like a peasant. Nah, they should do that in the factory for me.
Yes.
I got what was billed as a no stir peanut butter, and there's a little layer of oil on top. Threw the whole thing away.
Well, that's just because it was separated.
Probably. I didn't actually. I mixed it and then I put it in the fridge, so it stopped separating. But no, I don't. Life's too short. I got stuff to do. I'm not mixing my own peanut butter.
I don't think all peanut butter is gross. I love creamy. I love chunky. I love this. I love that. But I love Laura Scudder's so much.
I'd argue that like all peanut butter is pretty damn good, except for the Whole Foods 365 unsalted crunchy.
Oh yeah, the unsalted is gross, but the honey roasted.
That stuff's good, but I accidentally bought the wrong one time, and I was just like, this is, it tastes so like bacterial and like burnt peanut skins, and I was like, I'm out. It's the first gross peanut butter I've had.
Mm-hmm.
One more. At Gilboard, bagels are a type of pasta.
Josh, this
wrong,
is my opinion.
Wrong,
this is my
wrong.
Opinion. You overstepped.
You're wrong. Drinks are food or whatever I said. And on that note, thank you for listening to A Hot Dog is a Sandwich. If you want to hear more from us here in the Mythical Kitchen, we got new episodes for you every Wednesday.
If you want to be featured on Opinions Are Like Casseroles, you can hit us up on Twitter at Mythical Chef or @Hendizada with the hashtag Opinion Casserole.
And for more Mythical Kitchen, check us out on YouTube where we launch new videos every week.
And of course, if you want to share pictures of your dishes, hit us up on Instagram at Mythical Kitchen.
See y'all next time.